This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Let's go.
Bingetown C-137. How we feeling tonight? It's your boy PD back here with Paul and Luke, and we're here to talk about episodes 9 and 10 of Adult Swim's Rick and Morty. This is going to be a little bit of a longer episode since we're covering two episodes. We are going to try and fly through episode 9 since it wasn't as plot heavy, but episode 10 is going to be an absolute dissection of everything that we understood. Obviously, we're not perfect. We're probably going to miss some things that you guys might have caught, but we're going to try and get through all of that. We have so much information on the story of Rick Sanchez that my mind literally couldn't handle it all in one watch. And I'm pretty sure all of us have at least seen it two times and done a lot of heavy reading on trying to understand it so we could deliver this information to all of you. But I'm just going to end this intro by saying episode 10, at least, was one of the best episodes of Rick and Morty possibly ever for me personally.
Taking away the comedy aspect of this show, I thought episode 10 was the best episode of the entire series. It connected everything. I was so fucking satisfied with Evil Morty and how that tied in together. And we'll talk about the curve later, but that concept is just classic Rick and Morty, just going above and beyond in creativity and just setting new roads for sci-fi cartoon shows because they just did it like as good as you possibly could have.
This was an unbelievable finale to what I personally thought was a fantastic season. I love where they're going with this. I love what they're doing. I love that they're going to say, hey, we're going to do some crazy shit in some random episodes, but that's just pretty much just for that episode. But we'll tell you when we give you a canon episode, and then you can hang on that for the ongoing story. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, totally what they did. And it was phenomenal. Like you said, this was some of the best classic crazy sci-fi Rick and Morty situations. And the reveal of Evil Morty was like, what, season one? Like way back when?
Yeah, it was when? Literally the finale of season one.
Yeah, it was, episode 9, I think. So, well,
Technically episode 10, but the pilot can be considered episode 0, depending on how you look. We'll get into shout out gets to. Not only do we get a lot of plot in episode 10, which we all obviously love, we also get some fucking anime like Samurai Jack in the beginning. Like that shit was so dope.
It was the best opening and the best ending of any episode of Rick and Morty. I just thought 10 was perfection. And just to show that in a different way, as always, we talk about the IMDb rating. So for episode 9, it got an 8.7, which I think is very, very above average. I thought it was a great episode. The Two Crows were, you know, a lot more comedy based and it wasn't as plot heavy. But episode 10 got a 9.7, and that's the second highest episode of the entire series, behind only Rick Lantis' mix-up, which was the Citadel setup of Evil Morty two seasons ago, I think.
I would have literally said that this episode and that episode would have been my two personal favorites.
So. And also another thing about Rick Lantis' mix-up is it paved the way for Mr. Nimbus and the whole Atlantis thing in this season too. So it just makes sense. And wow, man, 9.7. Thankfully, they're putting some respect on its name. But I will say, you know, there was some missteps in the middle of the season, specifically when it comes to the portal gun, because the portal gun is so goddamn important in the end here that they just dropped the ball and just did not care in the beginning.
Does it make up for all the lack of portal gun usage we get in the first half of the season?
I just think it was unnecessary to write it that way.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like it was just, hey, we're not going to include it because that would solve the situation. We talked about it all season long. Mm-hmm. It's weird for them to come back to literally the portal gun just being the key plot device for, you know, the finale of the season.
But I called it, baby. We got some Diane talk in the end. I've been asking for that since the episode two, because they mentioned it twice. They mentioned it with Mr. Nimbus, and they mentioned it in the Decoy Family episode, I think. Amazing.
We didn't get any Diane lines. We didn't get a voice behind it, but we did get a lot of more new information about Diane. So that was super nice. I love how they did tease us pretty much going up to the finale.
Yeah. And one other thing I want to point out, I don't know if it's like super common knowledge, but Evil Morty with the eye patch has only appeared in odd seasons. So every other season, like he was introduced at the end of season one, three, and then this is five. So there's a huge chance, and it makes total sense with how the episode ended, that we won't see him at all next season. I kind of don't want to let that breathe and then bring him back for something crazy in season seven.
We were asking for Evil Morty nonstop and they wouldn't give it to us, but it's totally worth the wait and the payoff.
Yeah.
I mean, it was phenomenal.
And I like how, too, it's interesting that this episode was the second highest rated Rick and Morty of all time. And we also got some of the lowest rated Rick and Morty episodes.
The lowest. It might be tied with the dragon. I forget. The dragon and the sperm are like the two of the bottom three.
I love the dragon one. And going back on my rewatch, I rewatched a little bit of the season again. And I really honestly, Paul, I'm with you. I really like the Rick dependence spray or whatever.
So good. Yeah. I thought it was so funny.
But yeah, we get the second highest rated Rick and Morty with also paired with some of the lowest rated ones. If that doesn't tell you how much of a roller coaster this season was for fans, then I think it was well worth it, though, for this episode.
This would have been a flat 10, just perfect 10 out of 10 if the president made an appearance. That's all we were missing.
We got Morty Prez. We got a different Prez.
True.
And I did refer to him as Mr. P sometimes in my notes.
I did Morty P. So right off the bat, in the beginning of nine, you know, it's funny going around just Morty fixing all of the adventures that Rick just like, fucking leave them. We'll abandon them. And then like, they'll be, you know, you don't have to worry about it.
Whole Cake Island.
Literally. Cookie Isis. When he was going through his phone, he was going through the checklist. And that one was Cookie Isis that he checked off the list.
There was some good character development shown here by Morty, because he kind of implied that he was doing this on behalf of Rick, but he was really just doing it for himself, and he was just fucking adventures up and just running shit. So I like that.
Like, Rick would be pissed if he knew Morty was doing this, but he was just going back to fix what they fucked up. It was funny.
Yeah.
He was like, UFO shaped hole in the dam. Like, can you fix this, Morty? Then there was like the lava crystal, which that was one of the messages that he did on the phone. It was like lava crystal, and he goes and freezes it. But
That was a shout out to Moana, I think, because the main, like one of the big bads in Moana was a floating volcano.
Bad in Moana.
I don't know. I didn't watch.
You never
the
movie. Seen Moana?
I've never seen it.
Seen it like three or four times, man.
I just saw the clip of there's a giant lava monster and they're on a tropical island. So I think that was a shout out to that movie. I think Dan Harmon must be a fan of Disney. So.
I mean, yeah, I guess you could take it like that.
But after the adventures on Whole Cake Island, we get the what was shown in the trailer episode, which is just Morty realizing he fucked up with using the portal gun because Rick marked it. He fixes it, but accidentally doesn't fix it, uses Mountain Dew instead, accidentally spills some on his hand. And then that connects us to the Portal Boys. I think his name's Nick.
Nick.
So that sets up the whole Portal Boys plot line.
He puts in the soda and he goes, weird fluid detected, ... And he goes, which is good. And he's like, oh, okay, cool.
It was cool just seeing the back and forth between the mini portals in with Morty's hand and Nick's in his thigh. I just think
incredible.
Yeah. Just how they utilize that in combat and how when they fight at the very end, it was just all very well done.
It was so cool. At first, I was like, what the fuck's going on? Like, you see this upside down head in his palm. And he says in the beginning, you know, now I have a kid in my thigh. So you didn't know it was in his thigh. But when you finally see it and, you know, gets the key through the portal to unlock the handcuffs and then the fighting. They used it perfectly, and it kind of made me want
a little portal.
I want to be connected with you guys a little bit.
Well, Nick says, like, you think you're mad. Before you, I had essentially the Harry Potter, like Hermione's infinite purse or whatever.
Oh, yeah, a dump spot.
Yeah, you could just hide whatever you want in there and just pull it out whenever necessary. That's really cool.
That was sweet. And that was all the trash, and that's why it goes in the garage. And when Rick busts in with the gun, he's like, yo, what's fucking going on? And he goes, all this other shit. He goes, all right, Garbage Goober, come on.
Kyle loves Garbage Goober.
He's
definitely going to make a reappearance at some point. He's just in Rick's lab all the time, so he's got to be a doctor, too.
He's the man. The family loves it, too. Summer calls him in the end credit scene.
But skipping ahead a little bit, let's go right to the main catalyst of the whole episode is the wheel of better things than Morty. Kyle 2.0, baby.
Yeah, the white.
So,
and of course,
so Kyle is a thing now. He's been brought up twice.
Yeah.
It's his first assistant pre-Morty. Remember Mr. Nimbus brings it up?
Yeah, we actually... So one of the videos I watched on the episode shows a picture of Kyle. I think we've seen him. He's been in an episode before.
While you're looking at that, though, some of the other funny things on the wheel were just like a sentient piece of shit. And then it says Jerry, but spin again spin in parentheses. Again.
And bag of meat, just random shit. Half of Paul Giamatti.
Isn't that the guy that's inside?
That's a scientist.
Oh, that's the scientist inside the car.
Yeah. Well,
within inside the car. The battery.
Wait,
whatever.
Is that the same Kyle?
No way.
I don't know. I have no idea. I just figured this out.
No, because he couldn't have known of Rick's existence or else he wouldn't have been doing what he was doing.
Is it the car says something about Kyle 2.0?
No. You mean in the beginning? It's Mr. Nimbus. He's like, I liked your other one better. What was his name? Kyle?
That's what it was, Mr. Nimbus.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, shit. Yeah. So Kyle, when I saw Kyle 2.0, I was freaking out. And I was hoping that we would get a little reference to him. But
yeah, it would have been cool. Yeah. So he gets the two crows. We see the cool bird on the wire trick, which comes back into play later.
So sick.
And then we have a couple more conversations with Morty and Nick. We can just keep moving along here, but
it's just a crazy person. Essentially, he's in a saint. What do they call him?
Saint Asylum. Yeah. Says like the reason he met Rick. Well, he came back here and pissed Rick off and he launched him to Australia and that made him crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not really what happened.
Morty breaks him out. And first thing they do is go like right to the garage and just fuck everything up.
Well, okay, we got to fucking talk about real quick Morty's his bike spaceship, which was the coolest thing ever.
Oh, yeah, hell yeah.
So dope. I was immediately like, where do I buy one of those? Like, I need that.
And it was like equipped. It was hooked up. He like found instantly where this guy was. It can go right into space right on the spot. Like, that's awesome. Mm. And that should, I hope that gets its own like AI system that can be a character too. And that could play into some fun episodes.
Yeah. What'd he say? Rick made my bike into a spaceship for solo adventures, like getting his dry cleaning and like shit like that, or getting drugs on different planets.
Even the spaceship itself that Rick drives and then this mini bike spaceship are just both made of trash. You see the little like latex gloves hanging off the bicycle front,
which is funny.
So much better than just a trash spaceship.
He just puts low effort, like the smallest ever, because when you see young Rick in the flashback of like in episode 10 in his whole life, young Rick's after he just created the portal gun has like a really nice spaceship, not trash cans
side. Yeah, when he puts the crystal in for the first time too.
He just like gave up now, doesn't care.
But let's hit that part. You mentioned it earlier, Dave, because as Morty finds out where Nick is, that he goes and helps break him out. And I do like real quick though the key in his hand to help unlock him, but the escape attempt is when we get some really good animation there.
Defibrillator through the portal, and then like Morty's getting choked out, like he uses it on the guy's face, the broom,
and then the vomit. Oh my god, he's good.
He gets the bedpan just. Ew, that was disgusting.
Did you just kill someone with vomit?
And they high five and he's like, dab me up. And he's like, am I doing
did
it?
Did I dab you yet?
That was amazing.
I think right after that is when they go directly to fuck up Rick's shit.
Yeah, they want to get all of his cool gadgets just to do other crazy shit.
And while they're doing that, Rick is with his new partners, the two crows, and he's learning empathy from two crows. Who would have thought that he learned empathy from these non-intelligent creatures instead of like his actual family? You know, like, he's such a dick.
He's an asshole.
But he was pissed about it, so he was going to release them because they did teach him empathy a little bit. He's like, all right, if I wanted empathy, I would have. I forget what he says, but he goes to drop them off at the advanced crow world.
Yeah, well, the line going to that was awesome. They're going through that crazy dungeon and he's like, oh, like, the real treasure is empathy, and that's better than any knickknack. You guys earned yourself next adventure.
Yeah.
And then next adventure, you're fired.
Yeah.
Right in front of the crow plant. He's like 300 species of your avian species.
Yeah, avian species. And oh, you guys are going to do so well down there. You guys are going to be the smartest creatures. And they're not, because as Rick sends him to the planet and he's trying to leave, he gets tractor beamed. And he's like, oh, you think you're going to tractor beam me? Whatever.
Yeah.
And then he's like, destroy my deed tracto, whatever.
Yeah, blocked it.
You scrambled my tractor beam de-scrambler? Like, what the fuck, man?
Yeah, so he gets captured by the planet. The character design for the crows are pretty badass. They're like muscular birds almost.
Just geniuses. They can obviously
really
talk.
Smart, yeah.
We train to not train because there's no need to train because we were trained all along.
And the training is complete.
And then Rick's like, oh, this is training of my training. And this is like nonsense. It's like decoy episode all over again with training.
The crows, literally, he closes his eyes and is about to walk off the cliff. The crows save him. Then they take off his jacket and then they go get him a joint and a lighter.
Dude, incredible. They just light it for him. He's like, this is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I love crows now.
And then we go into the shed where Nick and Morty are destroying everything. And then Jerry's like, oh, I'm going to hop in. And he just one thing and it becomes a puddle.
I thought that was amazing.
He destroys the blue gem in there and it just, he's just a puddle. And he's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Where they're all just destroying shit. And Jerry's like, oh my God, what the fuck happened? And Morty's like, whatever, man. Just continues just destroying things. Doesn't give a shit about Jerry.
Jerry has no respect in this household from anybody.
Yeah, literally, this is right before Rick gets back from the crows. Oh my God. One line that I have to bring up real quick. While they were escaping from the asylum, one of the guards looks at Nick and he says, keep running, Nick. The more you sweat, the saltier the cheeks. Because Nick was talking about how, you know, on Sundays, they like they beat us up. But on Mondays, they hold us down and they lick our faces.
Yeah. That's meatloaf day, too.
It was amazing.
So weird.
But yeah, sorry, I had to bring that up.
No,
but
that was a good line.
They're all running because Rick's coming home. The garage announces it. And Morty's like, hey, like, should I like do something about my dad? He's kind of like a liquid. And Nick's like, nah, fuck it. Rick will change him back into a salad.
Right before they bounce, they find the equivalent of an iPhone 3 version of the portal gun, which is cool to know. We obviously knew there were different phases of developing the portal gun, but that was cool.
That is sweet. And the portal boys.
Rick returns with the crows and he's like, obviously all salty that his garage is destroyed. He sees Jerry as a puddle, just again, does not give a fuck. And the crows kind of dissect the whole situation. Look at that board. Like you see all these shitty things on there. And then there's, why is there two crows on there? Oh, because we're also shittier. And like, they basically dissect that whole situation.
They're super, they're being overly smart about like, obviously that's the comparison you're holding to what's relevant to two crows. Like,
it's funny, except it's not.
They confiscate his two crows, unfortunately. So
that's fucked up.
Yeah, Rick is now crowless.
And the king crow turns crows against
humans.
Is
that what we're calling him?
That's what I call him.
I'm in.
I didn't really have a... He didn't have like a king crown, but no. I don't know. The way he talks.
Some Casey.
Because I'm Casey, yeah. All crows in a 300-mile radius starts attacking humans. Mm-hmm. And Rick's like, they took my fucking crows. He just runs after them. Which... Garage Goober comes out real quick after all this happens.
Oh, he's hoping for his chance.
He turns the dial to Garage Goober and Rick's like, knock now. So they took my crows.
We know on his scale that Garbage Goober is below two crows.
Yeah. Well, apparently two crows is fucking way higher than he initially thought it was.
And that was a good laugh. I remember that one specifically because I think that's when we go right to the commercial after that, I think.
Yeah.
It's like Garbage Goober, just good.
Yeah.
Maybe you went to the commercial break. I didn't watch it live, so I got seamless transition.
Portal Boys. They pull up to the drug dealers. Mm-hmm. Morty's telling them, like, hey, we were getting portal fluid from these guys or ingredients for portal fluid from these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Nick just goes crazy, tells him he's going to kill them all. He ends up shooting, pulling out a gun, shooting everybody. And
through Morty's portal.
Yeah, using Morty.
He goes right into his thigh. Basically shooting his thigh.
Yeah.
And Morty's holding his hands out like, no, stop. It's not me shooting. And all the bullets are coming out.
I only caught this on the second watch through, but the way he stops him like instantly before everyone starts jumping Nick is he just goes over to the bar, gets the lit ashtray and puts it through his hand and just starts burning the shit out of Nick's pants. I thought that was awesome.
It's wild.
They used the portals so well.
Now we get the sacred egg. Rick's going through the whole crow hideout and he's like, god damn, how many fucking references are there? Because he sets off an alarm, it's just a crow crowing. But he gets to the sacred egg and he's watching to see if his crows are going to go in or not. And the king crow kind of traps him. And that's when he gets the phone call from Morty,
who is dealing with his shit with Nick. He's in the car trying to drive away from Nick, but Nick's fist is going through Morty's portal, beating him up.
Yeah.
But right before that, because it is important to note that they are willing to reconcile Rick and Morty. They're finally like, oh my God. Like Rick thinks he's fucked. And then he starts hearing Morty. He's like, yeah, I'm leaving a trail of bodies behind me. I fucked up, Rick. And he's like, damn, dude, I got my own shit going on over here.
He was like, yeah, this crow shit went fucking sideways real quick. And the crows, because of that, I was thinking about going back to you. Now I'm going to touch the egg.
We see how desperate they are to be around each other and how they honestly are yin and yang and how they balance each other out and that they're just an invincible duo when they're together. When they're not, shit will just hit the fan.
Morty's just like, mission man, right at the end. It was one of the last things they say before the fucking knife comes out of his hand.
Right.
And then a fist comes out of his own hand, which is crazy to see. And he starts punching him and then drives the car off the cliff.
This was a really great scene, I think, for Morty, just again showing how much of a beast he's become.
Savage.
Yeah. Like, so
good.
Nick flies in on a jetpack after Morty crashes the car because of Nick doing fucking up his plan through the portal hand, and Nick has him by this railroad track, basically saying, "I'm going to kill you for whatever fucking reason." And
well, no, he wasn't going to kill him, because if he killed him, didn't that defeat the purpose of the portal? I forget what he said he was going to do to him. Wasn't he saying that he's like, he needs
me and you forever, 300 episodes.
It's basically that, because he's like, he ends up saying, I thought Rick was my ticket into a special life, but it turns out it's you, Morty. So I think he was going to just like keep him hostage.
Yeah. I think he just wanted the portal gun tech and shit like that. And was just going to drag Morty around with him. Mm-hmm. And Morty says, nope, throws his hand on the train tracks, gets completely just separated, and then gets his own hand and throws it in Nick's portal thigh, which portal inside of a portal just collapses
it's
on
like
itself.
Black hole. I thought that was the best kill Morty's had in the entire series. It was fucking great.
Fucking genius. And he's gone wild this fucking episode.
And then to add to the beast that Morty is, he goes to the fucking jetpack, burns his fucking severed hand.
Cauterizes the wound.
Yeah, exactly. He's a dumbass, but he's not a dumbass at points. He does some stupid shit, but like he knows his stuff at this point in time.
I said Morty was going crazy this episode. I meant this season, like episode one, killing all of Narnia.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Just the one with Planetina, what was that, three? He gets all the rings, does some crazy shit with that. He's got some good kills this
definitely does.
I'll reiterate it, because I've said it every time Morty has a great scene like this, is I just love when Morty just pops off like this. It's just such a dark side of him that just kind of embodies Rick a little bit, but also not. It's just
since it's C-137's Morty, it just makes sense, because he's the only one that would be able to have this much development and not die, because he has the main Rick.
Yeah, if he has the smartest man around him, of course you're gonna pick up not even the smartest man, the smartest creature and
within the curve.
So of course Morty's gonna learn.
We'll get there.
Yeah.
So while this is happening, Rick is actually dealing with his own shit with the crows too. He gets out of those thorns real quickly and pulls out like a million guns. I was like, dude,
he's got some body modifications now, because we saw earlier too that his hand,
that's in the next episode.
Oh, is it? Yeah. But when did he do all of that?
He's always has everything. Yeah, I think in early seasons they do like a scan of his body and you could see like the cyborg skull.
That was the Jerry episode. They were going through like customs or whatever. And they're this guy's like 98% cybernetic, that we have to sedate him. And then that's when Jerry's like the boss. And he like flinches and he's like, little bitch.
Yeah, I love that. That's really good.
Rick pulls out all the weapons. He's going balls to the wall. Then we learn that this Crotech is fucking nuts. He ended up creating some of his own, which King Crow wasn't ready for, because you know he fucks him up, hits him with a laser, and he's like, what, like you're supposed to die? And he's like, you know, gotta admit, really coming around on this Crotech.
I'm coming around to the Crotech too.
Is so cool that he has. He like whips out the red and black shield. I thought that looked
and
dope.
I said it earlier, like the crow sword in next episode is fucking dope too. So Crotech, I'm all in on Crotech, honestly.
He gets like kind of fucked up, and then his crows come over to him and they do a reference from the first trick that they learned. It was a crow on a line. Where they grab the wire and bring it everywhere. But before they pull, they look at him and he goes, birds, quaaludes. And he's like, all right, fine, deal. And then bam, cuts everybody in half.
They're drug addicts, of course.
Rick and two crows.
Bird on a wire is what you were
bird
looking
on,
for.
Yeah, bird on a wire. That's what it was. Did I say bird on a line?
See, crow on the line.
That was close.
Yeah.
And then Rick goes back home, sees a really defeated Morty with just walking around with one hand now. And then I wasn't even worried when Morty lost his hand. I was like, this is just not even an issue in the slightest bit.
He wasn't worried himself. He just knew Rick was going to fix him.
Oh, Morty, let grandpa fix you up. What do you want? A robot hand?
I don't know what kind of, I would have maybe taken like a
lizard
paw or something.
Lizard hand?
Fuck a claw. Lizard hand. I would take a paw of some sort.
I can make it big again like that one time. You remember that episode where his arm got huge?
Oh my God. Yeah. When he injected
the Mad Max
him.
One?
Yeah. The muscle memory.
Callbacks, baby. Undefeated.
Awesome. And he's like, dude, not right now. It's not time to joke around. Gets his hand back. Everything's good.
This is where we get a really, like, I guess, intimate moment between the two of them, where Rick is going through a change because of these two crows. He's basically, look, like, I need to figure out my shit. These two crows are going to teach me a lot of things. And hands off the portal gun to Morty, which is wild.
Morty says, hey, like, full reset, we good to go. And Rick says, no, we're not.
Mm-hmm.
And Morty is like crying. He's literally on like the balcony, which I don't think I've ever seen someone stand
never
on ever.
I was thinking the same thing when I watched it. I was like, that balcony would be a great smoke spot. That was my first thought, of course.
It's like, it's that meme, just stoners see this spot. That'd be a great place to smoke.
Yep, that's exactly what that was.
Wouldn't put it past me if Rick built that patio just for Morty to go watch him fly away.
Honestly, but yeah.
The roof looked like it was covered in crow shit as he flew away. And I thought that was fucking hysterical.
That's what that was. I totally thought it was like semen for whatever reason from like the Rick Dependence spread. But like, I didn't even think, yeah, it was definitely crow poop.
But then this episode ends with just him doing one of those usually end of this like last episode rants where he's just fourth wall breaking, talking to us, the audience.
Me and two crows, 100 episodes.
No, he says 1,000 episodes, yeah. 9 seconds each, because that's the future.
Shoes, yeah. Shoe technology now. Yeah. People are going to be watching on their shoes because it's, I don't know, it was so wild.
We're going to lay walnuts on the road and car tires are going to open up. crow shit, dude.
So good.
Rick and Two Crows.
Pinning that because we pick up right with that in the next episode, but then the extra credit scene is just garbage Goober's background a little bit.
So good.
We find out he's a fucking doctor. Yeah. Even though, like, from the 5 combined seconds we see of him earlier, we just think he just is not like just obsessed with garbage, but yeah. It's him and his wife having like an intellectual conversation about their future.
The wife's calling him a coward.
Yeah.
Like, oh, where do you think you're going? Oh, when the red light goes off, I thought I'd go and eat the garbage. You didn't talk to Rick about this? He was like, you're a coward. And you know what? You're right. And then he sits there and he's going to not eat garbage anymore. But Summer comes over the intercom. Garbage Goobler, got some garbage yum yums, just like you like.
Like really dirty garbage, like really smelly, your favorite. And he's like, oh boy, I love me some garbage. And he just goes out.
He just says like, I'm in too deep. He's like, this is going too far.
I don't even know how I got here, but yum, yum, yum.
Now that we're finished that episode, do we want to just do a quick ranking of that episode?
Just a quick one, because we did fly through that. That was impressive. I think
record time.
It honestly wasn't the funniest either. And it was definitely less canon heavy than the next one, obviously, but it still, for some reason, felt like a good episode. It wasn't the best. Like, I was fine with, like, you know, a solid, like, 8.2.
I was going to say 8.7.
Yeah. Oh, you think of that high?
I liked it a lot.
What was the highlight for you? Did you like more the funny crow things, or did you like the Portal Boys? Like, what was your thing?
So, the Portal Boys, well, that wasn't the funniest, like you were saying.
Yeah.
I thought the Portal Hands was cool, and I like how both storylines were really cool for me, personally.
I'll give it a solid, just flat 8. You know, definitely rewatch value there. You know, definitely some quotable moments for me for sure. So I'll give it a solid 8.
I would say the finale, Mr. Nimbus, Decoy, and the President Scarecrow one are above it. So it would probably be like 4th or 5th of the season, which is still there's a drop off after like the 5th episode.
There's
not saying it's like a bad episode at all. It's just, you know, it wasn't top 3 of the season for me.
I probably have recency bias. Like, I'll probably like go back and watch, you know, episode 2. And I'm like, damn, like, that was a fucking 9.
1, 2, and 10 are probably the ones that stick out right now as the top 3 for the season for me.
I will be honest. Like I said, I rewatched a little bit to get to this point in time for the finale since we had that week break.
Oh, 8 was so good, too.
And I will say that the rewatch of this season definitely made me feel better about each episode. If I went back and re-rated them, I think they would each be a little bit higher than what I originally gave them.
Yeah.
But now we get into the fucking meat, and you guys better strap the fuck in because this is going to be a fucking doozy.
We'll try our best to fly through the beginning and to the point where we get to Evil Morty, but just to you guys, we shouldn't try and go too deep because we could be wrong. Like, this is a complicated episode.
Agreed. Yeah. Agreed.
And we're going to do our interpretation. We obviously are taking a lot from Reddit, from different articles online that we're grabbing, Twitter, anything I see, I was just reading. And this is just kind of just a mesh of all of the information we've been getting. And it might even be inconsistent amongst each other, but we'll do our best from what we understand. I'm sure as we reflect on it more and more and time goes on, we'll understand it better.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what, even beyond just for the podcast reasoning, like this, even if I wasn't doing this podcast, I would still have had to do so much research in order to fully understand what was going on in this episode. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I had to watch it twice. Read multiple articles, which is beyond anything I would have done if we hadn't done this podcast. It was so confusing, but in a really good way for me.
My sister watched it before I did. I think she watched it, might have been the night it came out. So she talked to me before I had a chance to sit down and look at it. And she was like, "Hey, it was a good episode." And then after I watched it, I like walked up to her. I was like, "Do you even know what happened?" Because I know she is such a surface level Rick and Morty watcher. Like, she doesn't dive deep into the theories and stuff. Tell me anything you know about the curve. And she knew nothing, basically. Yeah, like the casual fans, it's hard because this is a true culmination.
This is the peak, 50, the pinnacle.
Yeah, 50 episodes of Rick and Morty. Yeah, yes.
I love that's Rick Marai Jack too. The name, the title of it.
The titles got leaked a little bit before the air, and we all looked at each other and we're like, episode 10 is gonna be lit just based off the fucking title name alone.
The beginning just did not disappoint. It was a pure shot of dopamine to us, like just anime. Just we didn't even have the classic Rick and Morty intro. They just full anime, and that whole thing could branch, have backstories and backstories and backstories, all those characters.
Rick's getup was so fire. Just the hat, the fucking the suit,
his armor,
the
his sword, his hockey, or not, I keep saying hockey. His it was more like his Nen from Hunter Hunter, like it was just coated in purple Nen.
Yep. His robotic horse, that was sick too. Like the opening scene, it's like chapter 13, a wing and a prayer. Like,
yeah, just, it opened up like that.
Yeah, straight out of like Avatar or something.
Great music.
Yeah. The anime intro was literally Rick and Morty's tune, but with like a high pitched anime chick over it.
I love when he's fighting the owl. So, just a little backstory, the owls and the crows don't get along too well. There's been a century long war or something like that. But when he comes in and just fucking hammers the one fucking owl into the ground and then just cuts the flower and then throws it in, buried him. It was so amazing. It was so badass.
So did you pick up on the fact that when he eventually extends his wings, it's just straight up Phoenix person's wings?
Yeah, I did actually.
That was
see
awesome,
that.
Right?
Yeah.
That was sweet.
He just mocked that or mimicked that. But then my favorite kill, I mentioned this to you before the podcast, is right when Rick shows up after he does the slam into the ground, the next owl that's just standing right there, I think he's like, oh, let's see what he'll do or something like that. And Rick just opens up his cape. Crows. He says, the power of a thousand crows. And he goes all right into his mouth. And I think he like looks at the other person. He's like, good luck. And just fucking explodes.
Yeah. The owl's like, yeah, he's only one man. He goes, one man with a thousand crows.
We're a minute into the episode, not even. I'm like, this is,
I was just strapped in, just like, this is going to be the best episode.
And like, all the townspeople are cheering, and all of a sudden you hear, oh, yeah, yeah. And he's like, Morty, is that you?
Mm-hmm.
Two crows, you know, Morty. And Morty looks like garbage, and turns out he's like 40.
No,
like
you're
that.
Jumping ahead a little bit.
Oh,
he's
shit.
Still, he's still young Morty. But okay. Like whenever Rick is dealing with issues, he's always doing it in just such a terrible way. Like he just gets into these phases, like with the Go-Go-Trons. He just gets obsessed, and he's obsessed with this character arc of him being a crow person. And Morty obviously looks like shit because he misses the adventures, honestly. And then we get hit with the intro, which was absolute fire.
Epic anime. Here's the animation for the episode, right? Like, it was just so good. You see all these new characters that are just...
We don't get introduced to them, but like, it would be... If they just did a separate, like, okay, here's season 5 being over. Here's a 30-minute special on Rick in his crow phase, like, of this war, because you see the giant scarecrow in the background, and then you see the Gintaro character, which is really cool.
Did you pick up on that? The Kintaro from Mortal Kombat character?
Pucifer?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And he uses the tiger hook thing too, I think, which Kintaro like uses. Weird,
that's awesome. I thought it was just supposed to be Lucifer, except Pucifer.
I mean, that's the name. The play on the name is supposed to be Lucifer, but it's supposed to be awesome. Off.
This is my favorite shot, I think, of the whole anime sequence, is just after the opening scene. It's just the bamboo forest and the secluded restaurant, and it has like the tinge of the music in the background. That's just classic Japanese stuff.
It looked like you could put like a lo-fi beat over that kind of. I don't know if you guys listen to lo-fi music, but when I'm like doing work, I'll listen to lo-fi music, animated scenes kind of, and it just reminds me of that, to be honest.
Luke, I thought you were going to say your favorite scene was when he's fighting Pucifer, and he's kind of like wrapped from behind, and all of a sudden Morty comes in, and Rick's like, Morty, and then does the classic
substitution,
like,
jutsu.
Substitution exchange, where the log comes into it's always a fucking log. Yep. Pucifer's like, what? And then just gets stabbed from behind.
Yeah. And there's the end of Gintaro.
And then Morty shows up, and now he looks fucking like shit, and he's 40. He's like, whoa, what happened to you? He's like, oh, that's how long you've been gone.
Which I thought was wild, because I was also thinking, like, when Rick just, I guess because he's a 98% fucking cyberkinetics, he just doesn't age, is what I was thinking at this point in time.
I bought it. I thought they were going to explain it in a way where actually that amount of time has passed on Earth.
Dude, the fucking bartender comes up, gets your drinks. Oh, do you got a rum and coke? What are you, a fucking teenager? And he walks away. Too. And then, I'm Jack and Coke.
Oh, that's right. Sorry.
But then when he comes back and he gives him the drink, he goes, here's your drink, Posey. And then walks away.
And they have a good conversation here where Morty's just blatantly lying, trying to guilt trip him. He's like, dad got sick, stage 4. You would have loved it.
Oh, that's awesome. I don't think I caught that.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That was the funniest fucking
I got thing. Right after that. Summer's a nurse. Well, she's married to a junkie. So she's basically a nurse.
Yep. That was really good.
Yeah. Shane, like, come home. We still have a little time. And
he starts to throw the blame onto Rick for fucking their lives, the Smiths' lives up. And then
indirectly, like he doesn't say like it's all your fault. Like what you said, he's just guilting him into like, you got to come back.
So come back home for what little time we have left.
It's like, how long is it going to take to kill this crow's big bad?
Yeah, right, right. Yeah. He gets betrayed a little bit. Yeah. So he's asleep in his bed, asleep, quote unquote. And the two crows, while think that he's asleep, they fly off, but he's awake
to go bang.
Yeah, they're gonna go bang scarecrow guy. But yeah, so that's when he pulls up to the big scarecrow place. The two crows and the scarecrow have known each other for a very long time. How are you gonna leave this guy for me? All this kind of shit.
Which, how the fuck does that even make sense? Because he just randomly caught them on Earth outside the.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like there's this random bullshit. It's so funny.
Loved it though. He's like, now that I have two crows, I can stop Crow Rick. And all of a sudden, when Rick goes in, he's like, yeah, like you were using me as a rebound. And they were like, oh, yeah, like you pretty much used us as a rebound for Morty. And then he looks over and he sees like the three toothbrushes and stuff like that, like in the anime style. Yeah. So he's like, oh, you guys have known each other for a while.
Scarecrow's basically on this rant. He's like, yeah, we fuck, basically. And he's
we
like,
immensely enjoy each other's bodies.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, you don't believe us? Like, two crows.
Sounds like he's asking for proof. Yeah. Let's give it to him.
It would end anybody's journey at that point in time watching something like that. Yeah. So Rick's like, okay, I'm totally over all this. Mm-hmm. And heads back home.
Morty looks like shit still.
Morty looks like shit. He gives the horse, the crow horse, its freedom, and then proceeds to murder a bunch of people.
Yeah.
In the name of the crow god or whatever the fuck.
I thought that was going to be the end credit scene was going to be something with the crow horse.
That would have been really cool. Yeah. But it turns out that Morty isn't 40. He just went through an age of fire kind of machine because everyone else is the same. It's been like, I don't even know, maybe a month, a couple months.
Jerry and Beth walk up and like, will you turn him back into a teenager? Like, this is getting ridiculous now.
You find out real quick that where Morty got the age serum was from the Citadel. And then Rick just says, hit the ground running with the Citadel episode. Huh?
Yeah, I love that fourth wall break whenever they do that.
Infinite amount of times this episode. They do it so much.
I feel like whenever it's more plot heavy, they'll have more fourth wall breaks.
Yeah. Hell yeah. They had a fantastic Jerry line here where Rick is saying, hey, like, let's just hit the reset button. Let's get back together. And Beth is like, whoa, Morty, your father or your grandfather abandoned you, went on this whole rant. And then telling Morty to make Rick apologize to him. Mm-hmm. And Morty says, I refuse to say that. I'm desperate to get back together. And Jerry just goes, just like his old man, and wipes away a tear.
I didn't pick up on that. That's hilarious.
I forgot about that.
So good.
So they enter the portal to get Morty fixed, and we're at the Citadel of Rick's. When it has been a while since we've
seen. Is it called that anymore?
The Citadel?
I think it's not called the Citadel of Rick's since they destroyed it.
Oh yeah,
it's just like the Citadel.
It's just Citadel.
He turned it into Greendale, and I don't know if that was like a joke or what, but I don't think it's actually called.
Oh yeah, it was something like Glendale, something like that. Glendale 606.
So they, I love how they just it brings them to rebuild a Morty. Yeah, well, you know, if you think about it like a bone, we can snap off the two ends, take away the middle, and then put it back together. It's pretty much the same thing. Morty, don't worry. It's just thinking about it. It's not an actual bones. But that being said, this process will break every bone in your body, so just be ready for that.
He gets sliced into three pieces, and then the middle piece is taken out, and then the two revert into like 2 6-year-old, or like I guess they'd be 8-year-olds, mashed into 1 16-year-old.
And then he's 14 and is 14 and 26 because he was 40.
Okay, so so it was 2 7-year-olds that get mashed into 1 14-year-old, and then the remaining years are a 26-year-old whose life is not long.
You're trying to charge me for disposal? He was like, well, I'm not paying that. All right, well, then you're taking them.
That just reminded me. I saw something on Reddit too that I don't know if this was done purposely, but this is a flashback to the two crows that like the average lifespan of a crow is 7 years. So like two crows, 14 years is equivalent to Morty. It was something
so
like that. I don't know if that's true and was done purposely or people just found
that. Is that foreshadowing Morty's death at the age of 14?
I mean, he's been 14 since season one. So
I love, dude, that's so funny because earlier in the episode when he's spinning the wheel, Morty's saying like, oh, like you always say I'm worthless. Rick tells him, no, I never said you're worthless. I gave you a clear comparison to crows.
Yeah. So as pink Morty, I think that's just because
fresh
I don't know.
Skin.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what I was thinking. It's the fresh skin. But as they're kind of having a talk with the person that works for Build a Morty, a weird, ugly Morty is crawling out of the sewers and seems to be up to something.
Let's name these things because they pop up a couple times, like Goblin Morty.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, so that's fucking awesome.
Goblin Morty's fine with me.
Do that a lot, man.
But he's basically just preaching to everybody the world is going to end or something.
Death is coming.
Death is coming.
26-year-old Morty just runs out to save him. He's like, I'm going to help. This guy's being mistreated. Because the cops are like trying to shoot him and they end up both fucking getting shot.
Dude, Morty, 26-year-old Morty's good looking.
He's got
I love his flow and his facial hair. Yeah, he looks great.
Rick makes a comment. You'll be suspended with paid leave, so it's all good or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, horrible.
So, yeah, terrible, but like so
and
real.
And then he says,
the
let's
time.
Get out of here before this gets political. And then, of course, Mr. President / Evil Morty's version of the Secret Service shows up.
Mm-hmm.
And because they know C-137's Rick is there. So they just say, you know, we're requesting a dinner with you.
They take him to the quote unquote, I guess you could say, White House where Evil Morty is.
And Rick says, you know, I destroyed this place, right? And he goes, you've been pardoned for that. Like, mm-hmm. just come have dinner with the president.
Okay, quick pause, though, just for everyone listening, because now we're about to get into it, because this is it.
This is it.
And we did a good job on that. I think that was probably like 35 minutes, I would think, maybe a little bit more.
So there's 13 minutes left in this episode, which is going to be, we're going to be talking more than what the episode
we definitely will. But I'm saying we won't get too into the details, because again, like I said earlier, we could be wrong about some of this stuff. So I don't want to just enforce that incorrectly into people, but we're going to give you our interpretation about everything Evil Morty lays out, because this is the pinnacle. This is the connection of 50 episodes of Rick and Morty and Dan and Justin's just, I'm assuming probably at season one, they didn't have this idea, but I'm assuming around like season two or three, they knew where this was going.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Early as season one.
I would say even as just with how season one ended with Evil Morty, I think they already knew that this was where Evil Morty was going to end up.
Yeah.
And it's funny because we get started with them being in the quote unquote White House. I don't know what you want to call it, but just the president's office. And Morty's eating the food and Rick's like, does it taste poison to you? And Morty's like, nah, it's good. And he's thanks, buddy. And he just takes the plate. Yeah. And it's just like,
it's great
like,
having you back around, man.
because before they even get there, he does say, all right, fine, we'll go have dinner with him. But the second he admits he's evil, we're out of here.
Yeah.
And then when do we want to call him just Evil Morty?
Yeah, that's fine. Maybe. All right. Evil Morty.
So when Evil Morty is there, they have a conversation. I don't know, remember how it gets started, but our Morty says, oh, Rick doesn't like canon. He says he hates serialized drama. And then Morty President like snapping all charismatic. That's right. Keep it episodic.
So good.
That's another fourth wall break right there.
Evil Morty's so good, man. He has so many good lines. I love his attitude.
He is exactly like stockbroker Morty, you know. Corner office.
Yeah. All the toxins out, Morty.
Yes, exactly.
But he's like hatching his plan. Essentially, he's like explaining the plan. I forget what triggers it, but Rick's like, okay, there's the cue. Points the gun to him.
The Goblin Morty talk starts happening. Evil Morty says, I'm glad you showed up here, C-137, because if you didn't, I was going to have to track you down.
Oh,
and then he says, hunt you. And then Rick says, oh, there you go. That was it. Mm-hmm. And he stands up. And of course, Evil Morty has that force field protecting him because he's the smartest.
Mm-hmm. So sick.
And then they start having their like deep conversation about the Goblin Mortys because he's got some projects in the works, blah, blah, blah. And then he whips out the brain scanner.
He asked Rick about the central infinite timeline. And yeah.
Wait, Rick's, is that what it's the central finite curve?
Wow. I was so close, but so far.
Yeah, you're close.
Because you said central infinite timeline, but it's a finite thing, which is the whole purpose of it.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Sorry. Well,
say it one more time so I don't fuck it up when I say it.
Yeah. Central finite curve. I'm just going to be referring to it as the curve. You can just write it down. Central finite curve.
All right. The curve is fine with me.
And as soon as Rick hears that, he's like, yo, we're fucking out. We're leaving all this other shit. Talks about they were trying to scan Rick's brain. Evil Morty's like, oh, I think we got it. And Rick's like, you can't possibly have scanned a brain that quickly. And that's when they go to, oh, your brain was scanned a while back. That was season one, episode 9.
Shout out to Shout out to rest in peace, Stan Lee. We got a reference. He's like, oh, my non-believers, like, check out season one, episode 9, which is where the confusion is. So I went back and I went to episode 9 and it was
the devil.
Mm-hmm. It was the devil episode where Rick and the devil have that back and forth. And I watched it. There's not a piece of information here that leads me to believe that his mind was dissected here. And this is where I was going in the beginning, is that technically, if you consider the pilot episode 0, then it matches up with episode 9, quote unquote, being that episode. So they count the pilot as being 0, even though it should have been 10.
If you're looking on Hulu, which is where most people watch these episodes or whatever, it's season 1, episode 10.
10, correct. Yeah. So it's a continuity mistake, which kind of upsetting. It's like,
I do wish that they just said 10.
Yeah, just figure your shit out. Like,
because that probably threw some people off. Because I was considering,
it threw me off
before you said that. I was considering we're gonna freaking have to watch all of episode 9 to see if there's a subtle thing that happens. But
it was,
I'm glad you figured that out.
Yeah, it was when Evil Rick kidnaps him and he's literally scanning his brain, and that's where Evil Morty takes the chip at the end of the episode, too. That was like the one thing he takes with him, and the eye patch, which he ditches, I guess. But that's where he got the information from.
Yeah, we thought it was Evil Rick the whole time. It's actually Evil Morty running the show.
Yep.
So I do think then, yes, they probably had maybe not this specific plans, but they were going to use Evil Morty and the scanning of the brain to some purpose all the way back in season one when that was set up. It might not have been for this.
Yeah,
could have been also, though. You never know.
We get some cool callbacks, too, from the mind scanner. We see Snowball, Snowflake, the dog. Where are my balls?
Summer.
Summer, yeah.
Summer, where are my balls? Where are my testicles?
There's a little clip of that, and then we see a little clip of Rick just throwing like a paper ball at Jerry's head, and Jerry's just getting upset by it.
They also talk about how Morty was bred specifically for Rick, and Evil Morty goes, "Hey, do you want to see?" This is where he does pull up on the screen.
So he injects him.
He
with
lets
that,
him. Yeah, he lets him see scanner. The brain.
Just, and like his
pull up on the screen.
Yeah, right. His eyes roll back, and then it's getting all flashed into his head, and you can
it's
continue.
Morty mind blowers.
One hideout we saw from season one where it's just a bunch of Mortys in pain because that cloaks them. And then once Rick understood the power that Morty had, then they tried to just create as many as they could. They were stealing DNA samples, creating clones. They were getting young Beth and Jerry meet earlier just so that it was guaranteed to have Morty, even though they maybe weren't supposed to in that timeline.
Mm-hmm.
This also kind of ties into the episode where they get the VR goggles. Because in a lot of those timelines, Jerry and Beth never meet. I don't know if you remember that specific episode. And Summer gets pissed at them because she's like, I don't even exist in 99% of these timelines. And that's because they never meet. But in the timelines that they meet, it's because of Rick.
Yeah. Okay. So there's not enough organically produced Mortys because in all the infinite universes, Beth and Jerry don't hook up and have a kid that often.
Yeah. It's
so they started originally by doing what you said, Paul. They were hooking up all the Beths and Jerrys, and then that wasn't enough.
That was too
slow. So then they just started harvesting them essentially. And that's kind of what Evil Morty wants to show our Morty to get him on his side.
Of course, he's upset. I think anyone would be upset knowing that your life is just, it's not real. His life isn't authentic, if you want to say that. And regardless, I think he lets him go because I think he already has planted the seed. Rick is just an asshole. You're just being used all the time. So,
and another good summary point is that he says, as soon as Morty comes out of the trance, there are not an infinite amount of Ricks. He's an infinite smear of the same shitty old man, and they're all connected to the curve. So we'll talk a little bit about the curve more specifically in a second, but yeah, so he, Evil Morty has everything he wants, which is just the full scan of Rick's brain. He doesn't even care what C-137 does now.
He gives him his portal gun. They're about to go, and Rick shoots the portal and goes, wait, did you refill this after we got here?
He shoots the portal, throws one of the Ricks in, and it just kills him immediately. Yeah.
And he says,
it's a trap.
I've only known one person to hack my portal gun, and it was Evil.
Yeah, evil you. Yeah.
Evil you.
And you're like, you're all caught up now. Yeah. Something like that. But then this triggers a great fight because then Evil Morty summons the other Ricks from the sky.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have an awesome fight because Rick just gets a new piece of technology, drains his blood from his neck and throws the vial, and it like explodes into this blob thing that just
loves pain.
Just starts fucking everybody up.
No, it doesn't. Well, technically, I don't know how it works. So basically, whenever Rick
is supposed to take damage, it is
transferred to him.
Yep.
But then he can take that pain tolerance that thing has, bring it back, and then give himself like super strength, essentially.
Yeah.
So he just starts fucking everybody up. And
do you think it's somehow connected to the demons from the Hell episode that love the pain and love the cringe?
Probably learned it from them. Like,
that's
because
sweet.
They have all the syringes in their faces too, and all that shit.
I'll take that. That's a cool thing.
But yeah, that orange glow. Technology was so cool because he was just like slamming people's heads together with just his bare hands, and then they escape.
Yeah, he grabs the
brain scan,
the tack looking thing, and then they escape. This is amazing. It's just Morty and Rick kind of like trying to escape, but then Morty's asking him questions, and Rick finally snaps. He goes, fine, you want to fucking jump the shark? Do you want to know my stupid crybaby backstory? Here it is. And then Morty grabs it, and Rick was like, no, I didn't mean right now.
Okay.
And this
are we
is
ready?
The shit.
this is stuff we have to make sure we get right, because this is the true backstory of C-137 Rick. And I think really once this quick. Is done, we know everything. So just to start, we already teed it up that Rick was going to try and avoid letting Morty see this at this exact moment. But Morty says, fuck it. I don't trust you unless I see everything right now. So he injects himself again with Rick's brain. Now we're going to get the full backstory of C-137 Rick. And it actually has a very, very similar start as what we originally thought. And
From the holodeck episode where Rick is not outsmarted by those aliens because he obviously has the last laugh, but he's kidnapped and they're looking for information on the portal gun.
Season 3, episode 1.
So that's your reference there. And we do see that there was a Rick that came back to tell the OG. This is the OG Rick Sanchez now we're talking about. There was an older Rick version who has the portal gun, is telling him, here's how you build the portal gun. Rick denies him. The older Rick is like, okay, fuck you. Goes through the portal, but then drops a bomb right after he leaves that kills Beth.
Beth and Diane. Yep. And this is actually C-137's legit same universe family. So the actual Beth and the actual Diane died right there, meaning that in C-137's actual backstory universe, Morty never existed because Beth died so young. We get a little montage here of him going through life. He's a little depressed. He's getting a tiny bit older. He just doesn't know what to do with himself, that his wife and his kid are just got completely murdered. After he goes through a little bit of depression, he gets to some resolve.
The five stages of what do they call it?
Grief.
Yeah. Yeah. The five stages of grief. And now he's like, I'm looking for fucking revenge now. So he builds the portal gun. And this is where his solo adventures start. Yeah.
The first couple of flashes, and this is the thing that I'm the least confident about, but it sounds like we agreed pre-podcast, this is what's happening really, is because he's just getting the portal gun for the first time, he's exploring the universe and he's learning. And Paul, you picked that out, right? I think that's correct, is when he's like in the pizza world, scanning the phone, he's just getting information.
And even before that, to play on to him just exploring, we see him kicking it like he's in like a pizza mountain and he's just laying there enjoying life, but then I guess the thoughts are rolling that he's like, okay, now I got to make a mission out of this.
He's getting more advanced because his journey eventually leads him to join the black market arms dealing business. So he's going to start dealing guns, and you got that guy with the cool ass chain. Yeah,
shout out to the callback though, yeah, of the phone people, quote unquote, and using the people as phones and yeah, then pizzas, like yeah, the terrain and everything. So that was a callback to whatever fucking season that might have been, season 2 or something,
so long ago.
Yeah, so that was cool.
When Rick decides to go down this black market path of the arms dealing, he infiltrates whatever his goal ends up being because he wants the mind crystal that allows him to physically print out a memory essentially
of the Rick that killed Beth and
exactly
Diane.
He gets the picture and it's a live version, and he can start using his tech to start scanning Rick's throughout the multiverse to find the one that killed his family.
So yeah, it goes from him printing out the picture, asking a random farmer, have you seen this guy? He says no. This is where the big time skip happens. So yep, it was like a younger Rick, and now he's the Rick that we saw from 2 episodes ago with the long hair, the facial hair trim a little bit, mm-hmm, and he's with Bird Person, so he knows Bird Person. They're fighting the bureaucrats, Morty. You know. We learned all of that 2 episodes ago, I believe.
Yeah, because in the background of that episode, when I think our Rick's naked at this point and he's running to find Bird Person, you do see that version of Rick talking to Bird Person, and Bird Person saying, you know, this won't bring her back, right? And Rick's like, this isn't about bringing her back. This is more of a revenge thing. And that finally makes sense.
Ties into what we were trying to understand at the moment, is that this is a revenge tour to kill himself.
He's trying to just fucking murder all of the Ricks. And that makes sense. Like, I feel like episode 8 got enhanced by this story.
Definitely.
Then he teleports into, which I didn't even realize until Luke showed me, but he goes to like this Florida setting of this house. I only noticed the garage because it's the OG garage, but the house is different. Morty's a girl. What would his girl name be?
Morta.
So we have Morty, Morta, and Summer. And he's
not Mary.
Mortaline.
Mortaline. And then he ends up in this garage. This is where we kind of like maybe have been overthinking it, but he goes to the garage as Rick leaves and the kids leave. He goes to this map that has 3 constellations that are circled.
But Paul figured this out, I think.
The way I thought of it is our Rick, C-137, goes to another Rick who is already part of the Ricks that are gathering. The Ricks that
not
are
not the Citadel yet.
It's pre-Citadel. Yeah.
It's just a group of Ricks who are probably just looking for ultimate goal.
I mean, a Rick came to RC-137 in the beginning and said, hey, here's a portal gun, join us. And he says, no, you know, I have
okay. Yeah. Exactly. Right. That's exactly right. What okay. It is.
So yeah. Continue. So he knows that they're meeting somewhere and they have a base. So he finally finds it by using this Rick's map that he has on his desk.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes there and he starts fucking shit up. He's just killing everybody.
And it's killing and scanning the picture just to make sure to find out where the evil Rick is.
So it's a big montage of him killing more Ricks. And then another huge time skip happens where he's basically looks like the Rick we know and love now. The older one, he's just sitting in a chair. He's just murdering a bunch of Ricks that are coming after him to kill him because he's been on this rampage.
Yes. He killed so many Ricks that he's now attracted the attention of all the other Ricks who are saying, okay, fuck this guy. It even flashes to a live rally again, pre-Citadel that doesn't exist yet, of all these Ricks looking at him and saying, we got to fucking kill him, basically.
We see a version of Rick that looks very similar to the OG Doc from Back to the Future. We see a version of him wearing a Morty t-shirt, like just so crazy.
In the montage right before that, we get Rick killing a bunch of Ricks, and he sees one that has a short hair and a scar, and he's holding like a Tesseract cube, and it looks like Rick was going to get that cube, but, you know, right as he's about to get it, evil Rick shatters it, and this kind of breaks our Rick. Rick scans the body. It's not the one that killed his family, and he's broken. He's like, I don't know what to do anymore. I've done everything I could. I've killed everyone I find, but apparently it's not the same one. So he's just sitting in his garage, just like drinking.
And that makes a lot of sense.
He doesn't want to go find the guy anymore, but he doesn't want to die, so he's just defending himself from these Ricks.
He's realizing that there's infinite loops, there's literally infinite timelines of him existing, and that
how's he gonna find the one
exactly. And that's where he's in the state of depression, and then, as Luke mentioned, that's when all the Ricks are like, this man is coming for all of us, so let's kill him while he's down.
They're holding a rally in like a theater, showing him on the screen, and that exact moment our Rick goes in a portal out of his chair.
Watching this on TV.
Straight into the stadium or the auditorium, whatever you want to call it, and just burns them all. His face is numb. He doesn't want to do it. He's just doing it because he doesn't want to die, and he knows these people won't stop.
And then because of that, all the other Ricks realize that he is the one. He's the supreme.
There's like a couple of surviving ones.
Yeah, there's a couple survivors, and they're all just like, all right, let's just make a giant truce, and we're going to just call ourselves the Citadel of Rixus, and this is where it gets formulated at him. We have a bunch of other different versions.
You
of
see,
him.
it's the Ricks from the Citadel, the early Citadel episodes with the hairstyles. Dead, So and he set this all up. So RC-137 put this all in motion with the explicit goal of making Ricks peaceful and not kill each other anymore. He's done with his mission. He's not going to attack anymore. And that is a perfect backstory for the Citadel that I did not think we were getting this episode.
Yeah. And then it gets to the point of his return to Beth. So this obviously isn't his timeline. So he crashes into the garage. Beth sees him, knows immediately that it's the father that she had not seen since she was literally a kid. This is a timeline that, again, I want to reiterate, that isn't the one that Beth and Diane died in. It's a different one where she survived and I guess the wife died.
And that Beth that we see, because she walks in on Rick crying a little bit, like he's like all depressed, you know, depressed. So that Beth that we see right there is the actual mother of the Morty that is still around. The Morty that is seeing this vision.
Mentally still around. Yeah. Because it's not the body of Morty. Yeah.
So question, is this C-137 right here? C-137 Morty
never existed. Because Beth died as a kid. So never grew up to have a kid. So that
you sure that this isn't C-137 Morty and the original Rick wasn't C-137? They say once C-137 Rick, Morty. C-137 Morty, because Rick jumped into that timeline and took over for that Rick.
No, they say it's like a pretty accepted thing that Mortys aren't referred to by the universe. They're referred to by the Rick Ricks they're with.
Okay, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah. For a fact, because we watched the original C-137 Beth die as a kid, that Morty never existed. So the Morty that we're currently with live in season 5, that's experiencing this and like trusting Rick and shit, is the son of this Beth. And this is the Beth that is left in the
Cronenberg insect.
Yes.
Love Morty from, love potion
from season 1. I believe that is right.
I think it's safe to assume that this crash happens like a month or two before the start of season one, episode 1.
Zero.
And then there you go. But I just think that's perfect. We know everything from front to back of where Rick went throughout his whole life. The Blood Ridge was so helpful.
And then that leads us into seeing the curve. This is where we kind of get a glimpse of the curve as Morty awakens out of this flashback of Rick.
Yeah, this is the final face-off with evil Morty. Mm-hmm. The Citadel is just destroying. It's collapsing. All of the Ricks and Mortys that are going through portals are dying. Absolute chaos, but it's all according to evil Morty's plan. And one of the best things that happens here, I think, is for some reason it flashes up to a Rick and Morty that are like gingers with like the ginger afros. Yeah. And then they mention, oh my God, they didn't think about Operation Phoenix.
Which is just killing themselves.
Which is killing yourselves and waking up in a different universe. But of course, our evil Morty thought of this.
And has them all planted still within the Citadel.
To reroute the blenders.
They're in a blender. Yeah, they all just get blended up and they're all just being fed into fucking this fucking thing.
Fantastic. No loopholes. The one loophole, Operation Phoenix, they put it in there for that reason.
Yes.
Can't fucking do it.
Yeah. And it makes sense because as this conversation is going on, skipping a little bit to the end, the way that Evil Morty needs to escape, you just have to assume is it's a giant mess of green portal fluid plus like a, I don't know why it's necessary. They don't really explain it, but all that blood from all the blenders of all the Ricks and Mortys leaving is put into it. And I assume that just helps break through the curve.
It's almost like a filter. It's like, okay, here's all these different timelines of Rick being the smartest person. Let's filter out this DNA of
I like it.
The curve. But it's funny because when he shows them the curve, I'm kind of looking at it right now. All of the little bubbles are Rick being an asshole to Morty. Like there's one where he's choking Morty out and he's laughing. And then the next bubble next to it is Rick giving Morty a wedgie and Morty's crying and Rick's laughing. So it's every single one of these timelines, Rick is just such a dick to Morty. Mm-hmm. This is so funny.
So now we should explain our interpretation of Evil Morty's understanding of the central finite curve, because he doesn't even care about C-137 Rick anymore because he's done with him. He's just explaining to Morty and saying what the curve is. And we find out that ever since episode one, every single universe we see that uses the green portal gun, no matter what episode it is throughout all 50 of them, anytime it's a green portal, it's always going within the central finite curve. Mm-hmm. And what the central finite curve is just a huge mess of infinite timelines with like a picturing like a wall built around it, meaning you can't go outside this curve. And every single one of those universes that are clumped together that were put there by Rick are universes where Rick is the smartest living creature.
Which is just crazy to think about, because if we always loved the show because it was never limited in the amount of adventures that they go on, because the amount of universes that we have been introduced to were essentially infinite, but they weren't infinite. It was all finite. So now they can go into universes again, like you said, that Rick isn't the smartest. So how are they going to be different than the ones we've seen? Or like, what kind of adventures can they go on? It just opens up more possibilities.
And it's a weird mathematical concept, but there's levels of infinity. So there's an infinite amount of actual universes. And then there's also within the infinite amount of universes, there's an infinite amount of universes where Rick is the smartest, but it's a smaller level of infinite than the full infinity. Yes. So they isolated all of these. And that's basically what the portal gun allows you to traverse.
And that's what Evil Morty's ultimate goal is to get out of
break
that.
Out of the wall.
Yep. Yeah. He just wants to be in a universe where Rick is either non-existent or just not the smartest. He just wants a life of peace.
I think, Paul, you brought it up earlier. I think you or Dave, one of you guys brought it up, saying that what makes Evil Morty evil is that he's sick of Rick and wants to break out. Mm-hmm. So like, he says that here.
And he looks at regular Morty and he's like, if you've ever had a thought like this of being sick of Rick, you'll either come with me or you'll do your own, like you'll just leave him. And that's when Paul, he looks at Rick. Did you come back to me because you wanted to, or did you come back because the two crows left? And then that Rick hits him with a little depressed look. And then Morty's like, fuck.
Mm-hmm. Evil Morty says, hey, now you're evil too.
Now you're yes. Which was honestly getting chills from that line. That's a great line. Like now that we're just dissecting all of this, it's just so fucking wild.
I think that's pretty much the extent we can really say about the finite curve. Cause we were talking about it throughout like the episode, and that's the kicker, is just that it's the secluded version of the universes that he's the smartest. And I love that idea because it makes sense. He's always in control. We've been talking about that as friends, like outside the podcast, like he's just the smartest in the universe, so he can do whatever he wants. And that's true. But at the same time, there is other universes, you know,
that he's probably not the smartest. This moment, Evil Morty opens up his portal that he's looking to go through, which unleashes a bunch of portal fluid opening up into the Citadel. So literally everyone in the Citadel is just fucked. Everything's getting just black hole suctioned into this portal liquid. Mm-hmm. And then we see the red haired Morty and Rick.
That opens up the final part of it. And while that's happening, C-137, Rick and Morty are trying to escape like this overflow of fluid, and they take just a squadron of goblin Mortys with them and they go to Mortyburg.
I really want to point out though, that even though Morty understands that Rick, no matter what, is going to be an asshole. So Morty gets knocked down, but Rick kind of is trapped under a pile of rubble. Evil Morty's looking at him. He's like, you can come with me or you can do whatever the fuck you want, I guess. And he looks at Rick, and I really thought he was going to kind of just leave him there. Still saves him at the end of the day because of everything they've been through, I guess, even relating to the end of last episode, this episode, that connection that these specific two pair have is just that strong that Morty's like, I want to save this man's life still.
Rick tells him, he's like, hey, I would go with him. Honestly, I don't have another plan. And Morty saves him. And he's like, oh, man, thanks for going against my advice. And even Morty's like, hey, joke's on you. That was a toilet anyway.
Yeah. So they escape to Mortyburg with a bunch of goblins. And it's like the last ship on the Citadel that's capable of leaving. As Rick is like taking the spaceship out, that's when the full portal opens up.
There's two portals. So that was I think that was just a black hole that was being caused because of all the portal fluid. And because Morty shoots himself downwards into his portal that he was creating. But I think that was a black hole that just opened up from all the portal fluid. And so they're getting sucked into that. Evil Morty has already made his escape into the
he's breaking through the different verses, and it kind of reminded me of Interstellar now that you've seen that recently, right? Like,
yeah,
he's just going through.
One of the things I read was like, this is kind of like a play on Interstellar and 2001 Space Odyssey a little bit. The ship, of course, has a booster control. Rick's trying to fully push it down, of course,
but it needs to, right?
It's a must operate with partner kind of ordeal. So he grabs Morty, they have a nice little moment of both of them pushing the boosters down so they make it out a little.
But as this is all going on, it's like a parallel jumping scene. We get the alternative version of Evil Morty's motif.
Oh my God. I got goosebumps.
Dude, it was so good.
It was like a extra orchestra buildup. And then all of a sudden Evil Morty ejects himself out of the spaceship, and then boom, it hits.
Whatever that song is called, it fucking slaps. It's crazy because it's been 4 seasons since we've last heard this song, but it had such an impact on us in season 1.
No. It's in the Rick Lantis mix-up, which is season 3. Because it's at the end when you find out, like, before you find out it's Evil Morty, like, you're kind of finding out, and then you see
all of them leaving.
Yeah, he murdered a bunch of the
Ricks. But still, how many years has it been since that episode aired? Yeah. And the music at that point in time just hit us in a way that we heard it here, and we were just having flashes
of
and just like, this show is incredible.
It caused like memes, TikToks, and like shit like that. Like,
yeah,
it was the theme of that.
So the last thing that happens as C-137, Rick and Morty escape successfully, and Evil Morty breaks through outside of the central finite curve, is Evil Morty, he gives like a sigh of relief and gets out of the spaceship and shoots his portal gun, which is now gold.
Yeah, which is sweet.
Because because like I was mentioning earlier, if it's not green, it means it's outside the finite curve. He can go anywhere and he's free. And that means we ain't seeing him for 2 seasons.
And that is the end of season 5.
Boom, credits.
Boom, credits roll. We'll talk about the end credits scene in a little bit, but...
Not right now.
Right now, we can just go right into it. All right, we'll go right into it. So this is kind of like a very depressing end scene. We're introduced to Mr. Poopy Butthole again, which we, again, haven't seen since probably the end of last season, I think, right? Which is
No, he was actually in last season was the heist episode.
Oh, right.
Because
he's
the professor, and he says that. He's like, remember, I didn't get my job back. Remember that? Rick had me doing karate.
But he goes on this really depressing tangent of just...
I lie about who I am to the ones I love because I don't want them to know who I'm becoming. And he was like, wow, I can't believe I'm lying to the only ones that were brave enough to love me.
Yeah.
Maybe you should just give him this chance. Boom. That was it.
And also you find out, you know, he always is progressing his family life in the background. And he's divorced and single, living in an apartment, making ramen.
Yeah. What was it? End of season two, we see him like get pizza and says, see you in season 3 in like a year and a half. Mm-hmm. The end of season 3 is when you see him with the family and the wife and the baby. And then he loses it. His life just goes downhill.
The quote that it just hits, he's just like, ever think about how horrified the people we love would be if they found out who we truly are? We don't have as much time as we think. And I'm just sitting there, I'm like, I'm going on some like mental journey right now. Like, what the fuck is going on? So, but boom, that brings us to the end of season 5 of Rick and Morty. And wow, what a fucking way to end it. Let's just go around, just give our ranks 10.
9.9 because the president wasn't in it. But close to
9.9.
Dude, that is just, if you've been hearing me at all on this podcast, that is exactly what I wanted.
This is what Luke wanted. This episode was literally created.
And it was just hit on everything that it was touching. Like, no one theorized about the finite curve, but when it makes so much fucking sense, and it's so cool, and it adds such a next level layer that's going to be there for the rest of the series. Anytime we're they're portal gunning, we're going to be thinking about this. Like, what are we actually doing? I'm sure there's going to be that's going to be a main plot
point.
Well,
even if they
forward.
Do portal gun, like the portal guns fucked. Every single one of them are fucked now. They're all
not every single one.
I mean, he could create one.
Wait, what do you mean?
But like, his portal gun doesn't work. It was
No. I mean, I think
he'll get it back.
Yeah, he's gonna
get it back. I think as well. But
like,
as
Evil Morty being gone means like he could build one from scratch and it wouldn't be hacked or whatever.
Yeah, I'm gonna say 9.9 just because you always got to have a little bit room for improvement just in case a future episode yes. comes out that's a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. But
yeah, I thought it was like perfect.
All my final notes here, we hit through that podcast. Like, I thought it was just incredible. Classic Mr. Poopy Butthole at the end of the season. Just everything was good about it. And I didn't even really care that much that summer. Jerry and Beth weren't in these last two episodes, really. Besides Beth making the backgrounds. I mean, the backstory appearances.
I didn't even think about them at all, which is just a play on how good this episode was. Like, if you're not even thinking about these characters who are also very important to the plot and everything, then who needs them? You know, yeah. But
now that you say that, I guess episode 8 was a Rick solo adventure with Bird Person. Then it was, you know, Rick and Morty. Rick was doing
like,
They were Summer's voice was in the end of episode 9.
And they were in the beginning of 10.
Yeah, and they were in the beginning of 10. Yeah.
I did mention this on pre-podcast that just ranking smartest people in the universes that we know, it's Rick, but maybe even this Evil Morty has surpassed him on some degree. I mean, he got what he wanted and Rick wasn't able to stop him in a sense. In order of smartest characters, it has to be Rick, Evil Morty,
King Crow.
King Crow. Now I was thinking like president's got to be up there.
No, he's so terrestrial though.
I guess he's terrestrial and he does rely on a lot of old-fashioned technology.
There's
like
an infinite amount of theories out there right now though, because like this is just theory central, so there's a lot of talk about like what's going to happen. Like is Evil Morty the smartest of the people outside of the finite curve? Like, it's possible. Like,
yeah, that was something too. That
his
like,
origin could be outside the curve, who knows? There's so many things.
If there's a timeline of infinite smartest Ricks, then there's got to be timelines of the infinite smartest Mortys, and you know, maybe he could have came from one of those timelines, who knows. But let's I guess talk into what we are expecting for season 6 potentially.
I have no fucking clue.
They ended this phase, if you want to call it, of Rick and Morty.
I am calling it now. Right, phase one is done.
Yeah, that's this is phase one.
Five seasons of phase one, perfect setup.
So there's just no way. I think we're gonna maybe not directly into season 6, episode 1, we're going to see a portal gun being built, but I think they have to build a portal gun from scratch in some way or repair the one that they have to a degree. They can't just limit their adventures now to just Earth ones. I think that'd be kind of lame.
They will
point.
Still do that for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, they'll have them here and there, but I don't think it should be like just like all of season 6 is stuck on Earth or something like that.
I do want to point out, though, that they consciously made the effort to bring a bunch of Goblin Mortys with them and show them having have escaped that black hole at the end. So that's like a card in their back pocket. I'm sure we're going to see those
Citadel of Mortys.
Just Goblin ones?
Yeah, just Goblin Mortys. Holy shit, man.
Dude, that was just such a fun way to cap the season off, because it really was needed. And I'm just... it did the same. I thought the same way at the end of season 4, where after the 4 finale, I was just so much happier looking back on the season, and just overall, this season was just great. I think we might have like a quicker wrap up episode in the future, potentially, where we kind of high level talk about like rank seasons and stuff like that. Have a couple more of the Bingetown people on here, but
yeah, this won't be the final podcast until the next season. We'll
do something in between, because it's just something we love to talk about too much.
The fans have been enjoying listening to us theorize and talk about Rick and Morty as well, so we definitely got to keep them entertained. Mm-hmm. So,
Evil Morty, chef's kiss front to back.
Hell yeah.
Holy shit.
Unbelievable.
Any final thoughts?
I'm good, man. That was incredible.
It's going to be a long fucking way for season 6.
Yeah, if there's anything that we know is that Dan and Justin like to take their time with releasing seasons. Like, it might be a year or two before we get season 6.
I don't think it's going to be that long, though.
That was like a season 3, season 4 kind of deal where it took forever. I'm pretty sure they're done writing season 6. I think they're writing season 7.
No, they're
animating.
They're done season 6 is being animated. Season 7's already done being written, and season 8's being planned is what I think it is.
Gotcha.
So they're always a little ahead. And that's kind of weird, because last thing I'll just say is one of the random Mortys that was like when the whole Citadel was being destroyed had a mask, like a COVID mask. So I don't know if that was like put in after.
No, that was just like from an OG, like all the way back.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I didn't know if that was like purposeful, because I always question, like, how can you do a timely joke if you're 2 seasons ahead?
Yeah, it's weird.
But they could probably always add dialogue in the end to scenes that are already animated. Like, yeah. But anyway, fucking hell yeah. Good job. Loved it.
All right, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us on this Rick and Morty adventure. We're all part of the C-137 universe, and it just has been a great ride. What a great ending to a very good season, I think. If you're looking for more entertainment and thrills, be sure to check out our coverage of Marvel's What If. Check out our free Patreon episode where we just kind of shoot the shit, talk random stuff. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Again, check out our Patreon. We have a lot of new content getting released to there. Be sure to subscribe to that. Once again, we are Bingetown TV, and thanks for listening.